Ruth Roberts, your pet's ally. I hope that you are all well. If you were on the Croc Pet broadcast, I apologize for the very rude intruder. So we, anyway, it's just peculiar what folks are into out there. So let's see what we can do for you today. Let's start up at the top. So Karen is asking about autologous versus donor stem cells. And you got in touch with Dr. Steve Garner over at Safari Veterinary Clinic. And Steve has been around for a long time and has done some really interesting stuff. He started doing stem cell therapy with MediVet America kind of the same time I did. But what he's doing, and this is a really awesome video, by the way, is using stem cells that he has essentially sort of cultured out. And so what this does is it allows you to create a lot of stem cells without having to do any type of surgery. So he's a great guy. So your main questions are this, not that one, not too many windows open. Let's go back here. Will she benefit from both intravenous and direct insertion into her kidneys? And when I was doing stem cell therapy for kidney disease in practice, this is exactly what I was doing. Perirenal, so around the kidney injections, and then intravenously. So I think this will be a much better way to proceed. I wouldn't doubt it's the snake vaccine. That's a pretty nasty vaccine out there. So I think this would be a great option. So the awesome thing is that this is not difficult to do. It sounds kind of scary to think of sort of injecting the cells perirenally, but I was able to do this with animals without sedation or anything of that nature. So essentially, if you've got let me see if I can get this out there, kidney like this, we'd put the ultrasound probe right on the kidney so we could see it clearly. I'd have, my tech sort of stable dog or the cat, and then holding on to the probe over the kidney, then I would be able to see the needle going right next to the kidney, and then we'd use the cells there, and then the rest of them intravenously. So I think this really is one of the better ways to proceed with therapy. And the beautiful thing is that she does not have to go under anesthesia to get a fat harvest and things of that nature. So I think this is great. So Karen, keep us posted on that. It's awesome that they can ship cells to Phoenix. And in fact, it sounds like he can do this kind of surgery, because I think, Cole, this is one of the things, I think you found somebody locally too. Carter, good to hear from you. That CoQ10, I think some of these we got answered for you. The picture you sent, that's great. The CBD, it's okay to mix with the food. It is to actually give CBD right here, if that's possible, because it will absorb much better versus with the aluminum hydroxide. Aluminum hydroxide will end up binding some of the supplements over time, but you kind of need to do it. And we've got some pictures. So this is Mr. Rocky's mouth. And I think the redness you are seeing here is kind of what we would call more kissing lesions to these teeth. So there's a little bit of irritation here. So this does not look like ulcers. This one is a little suspect, but if that's healing up, we should be okay. But this is pretty distinct, this red dot here, versus this is sort of generalized redness. And then Kartar, overall, I gotta say, I mean, let's see, I think this is, Yeah. So this is Rocky's your analysis on the 15th of January. This is outstanding. The urine protein to creatinine ratio is below within that normal range, which means he's not spilling a lot of protein into the urine. He's just barely keeping it concentrated, but then again, too, you're giving some fluids and then no growth on the urine culture and sensitivity. This is sort of post fluids. BUN came down nicely. Unfortunately, there's not much else here other than potassium, which went from just shy of 6 to 4.4. And then the hematocrit dropped, which is understandable on fluids. But looking at these most recent tests, this is pre-fluids. The hematocrit was 0.435, which is 43.5%, which is outstanding. And then this is awesome. The SDMA, let's see, I've kind of summarized it here. So the SDMA was 42, so it's come down to through 31, and that's great. The creatinine was 36, 363.9. It came down to 358, which isn't a huge decrease, but it is a decrease. The urea or BUN did pop up a bit, which I'm pretty sure is why they started using the intravenous fluids. And then the phosphorus has come down pretty significantly, which is awesome. Still high, but it's getting there. So keep on with the phosphorus binder. And then the other thing that was of concern was the calcium was going a bit high. So top end of normal is 2.84. It's down to 2.87, which is wonderful. And then the potassium prefluids was 6, and it's dropped back down. I think we talked about adding in some fluids, or excuse me, some magnesium to help with driving potassium into the cell. If that's an ongoing issue, or maybe if it's not, I would add about 100 milligrams of potassium per day. So let's see here. So May's got holistic total body support. So May, once you have finished sort of trying different proteins and things like that, then I would try adding in HTBS, because I think you've been able to add back in without an issue. So again, do a regular dose for 3 meals and see what happens over 72 hours. If no problems with this GI tract, you're good. If you see things go sideways and the stool loosen up, then you're not good. And then new frontier from what are the amounts needed with it? And I apologize, we did this. Done. Calcium plate. So if we're using, we're actually going to need somewhere in the neighborhood of, let's see, 25 divided by 3. So we're going to need somewhere in the neighborhood of 5,000. And let me just double check that, so I'm not telling you the wrong thing. And I can't spell today. Oh, come on. So while we're letting that load, ma'am, I'm going to come second. So Jennifer's asking if it's possible that the damage seen on the ultrasound with the kidneys was done. Antibiotics, and that is be helped by the antibiotics, Jennifer. And it is confusing because when you test her for lepto, you know, it may continue to be there as well. So what should you do? What I would consider doing is this. I'm not sure how long he's been on the antibiotic, been a couple of weeks. What I would do is test the kidney values and see if they're coming down or they're not coming down. If they are not coming down and you're not seeing any symptomatology of like a bladder infection, then I would discontinue them because, you know, it's a problem as far as CRE issues for the microbiome. And then, let's see. Oops, come back. Yep, and then that's correct, about 5,000 cm per batch, if you will. You're welcome, Kartar. And Pam, I'm so sorry he's having issues, ongoing issues, and I don't know what else to offer you. So I would try the holistic total body support and see if that works for him or doesn't work. And then you're going to want to add 25 grams of the now calcium citrate will be roughly 5,000 milligrams. So that's how much you would need to use for the other products. And Astrid, as far as magnesium goes, I would look for like a magnesium citrate, something of that nature. The one to really kind of avoid is magnesium oxide. So I hope that helps. Let's see, let me pop back over to my list of questions. Let's see, Cole had her appointment with primary care yesterday, or not Cole, his dog Elsa, who unfortunately had chronic kidney issue secondary to an issue some years ago, and she's been sort of cruising along at high numbers. And her BUN went up, which is not great, but still lower than it was in October before the, and the creatinine really kind of cranked up. And then the red cell count is down to 22%. So she also developed a cough. They had put her on two antibiotics. So good to hear that the cough is better and the coming off of the antibiotics. Started her on the quercetin, the probiotic CC treats. And she's waiting for the other supplements to arrive. So eating and holding food and increasing calories, great. So stem cell therapy, check that out. And yes, so here's what I can tell. And then you're asking me about a patient that I had. And so Cody was a Labrador retriever, and he probably had a congenital kidney disease. And it, you know, at when he was neutered, his creatinine was just a smidge above normal. The vet didn't really think much of it. But over time, things just sort of worsened and worsened and worsened. And so he also had inflammatory bowel syndrome. And when I did my study on stem cell therapy, Cody was one of the participants. And from what I remember, we had, when we started, we sort of got him stabilized and handling life with values really pretty similar to where else's were. So, you know, BUS of 100, you know, more along these lines, where she had that second crisis. Creatinine between 8 and 12, and then the phosphorus would bump up usually around 7 or 8, sometimes got as high as 14. And so for him, We used Savellamar to control the phosphorus. That worked extremely well. And because he's a big guy, it was a lot easier to do than a ton of aluminum hydroxide. Intravenous stem cells at day zero, day 45, day 90. And then we just kind of waited to see how things went. And the whole thing was the IBS stopped within the first 60 days. So that problem was off the list, which is awesome. And what we would see is that he felt so much better. I can't tell you the numbers went down, but his quality of life was outstanding. And when the numbers would start to bump again, then we would go ahead and redose with stem cells. At that point, I was using Medivet, and we had he had 6 or 7 aliquots in the freezer, so to speak. That was super awesome. Now, when Cody, when we ran out of the stem cells being able to help him, it was literally 2 years after, no, 18 months after we'd started the stem cell treatment. And what happened is his numbers just took that out of hell. And so there just wasn't anything else to do. And so we treated intravenous and sub-Q fluids. His mom and dad were doctor and nurse, so they actually could get a line going and run some IV fluids at home, which was great because he's a big guy. And we managed to get, keep him going for another couple of months. And then it just, we just couldn't. But in that period of time, he did wonderfully for 18 months. He had an excellent quality of life. I got invited to his birthday party, and he's kind of a ne'er-do-well pup. But so everybody's hanging outside with their. He runs into the kitchen of the restaurant and is like scarfing up all the food that the dishwashers are trying to clean. He just was full of life and such a clown, but he did extremely well. Now, Cole, one of the things you may want to consider is with VetraStem, I'm not sure what their process is, but you may want to consider Safari Vet's method, because basically they are shipping autologous stem cells all over the country. And that would be a lot less for her handle in terms of not having to go through anesthesia and things of that nature. So I'll drop that link here. Steve Garner's a good guy, so he's done his research and done his work. And let's see, let me get back to my list of questions, and then I'll cover anything that's not here that's in the question box. So Tara's asking about Marley, who's blind between stage 2 and 3, and probiotics. And there's so much stuff we've done as far as information I need to update. I've recently recommended going to Phytospore or Megaspore, because I've just seen that be more effective. And the other thing is that most of the human probiotics also contain prebiotics, which is great when you don't have any GI issues, but sometimes they're concomitant with other problems. And so getting prebiotics into the diet can really GI stuff. So I hope that makes some sense. And then Tara's also asking about, she's actually doing really great switching over to the food, and you haven't had a grain yet. Yes, you really need, you want to minimize the protein level in there so that you don't have a super high protein diet. I don't recommend cutting the protein level back until the phosphorus level is much higher, but you do want to make sure you stay within normal limits. So if you're leaving out any kind of grain or beans, then you essentially have an almost 50% protein diet. So do add something in. You could use sweet potatoes as a starch. Do rotate, 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 rotate. So if you live in Ohio and it's pretty chilly there right now, yes, you could certainly use more warming things. So sweet potatoes are warming, chicken is warming. In the summer, you probably want to switch to your more cooling. So turkey, pork, brown rice, things of that nature. And then pretty much all the green veggies are cooling in nature. And thank you. And I'm happy to be of help, Tara. And then Susan is asking constantly, vomiting. She had an appointment. She's already on a low-fat diet, and Pepcid didn't really help. And so, Susan, this is really where you want to go. Make sure there's not something going on with labs. If there is constant vomiting, maybe something going on as far as GI upset with the food that's being eaten. So I would try using something that's going to kind of chill the tummy down. This is where you could use activated charcoal. And then another product that Standard Process just came out with is GI Adsorbed. And this is kind of nice because there we go, because it includes clinoptilite, which is a form of a clay, like bentonite clay, but Standard Process years ago called Cholacol 2 that used bentonite clay, and sadly they stopped making it because they could not find any sources of bentonite clay that were not contaminated with heavy metals. So this has clinoptilite in place of it, which is a little bit safer to use. And this is something like one capsule per 25 pounds of body weight there. So you can try that. Activated charcoal is easier to get a hold of. And for a dog, sort of in your fur baby's range, you could use something like probably a half a cap 2 times a day to help with that. And then the other thing that's been helpful is Heartburn RX, which is just chock full of great stuff to help soothe the Heartburn TX. Sorry, I keep getting it sideways. But to soothe the GI tract, slippery elm, and that's the other thing, plain old slippery elm. This one has diglycerized licorice as well, glutamine, and several other things that help enterocytes to heal. And if Sirenia is not stopping the vomiting, you definitely want to go get that checked out and make sure there's not something creating an obstruction. Because if your pup's still vomiting on Sirenia, that's not cool. And let's see. Let me cover the rest of what I got on my list of questions. But Susan's also saying that Abner's albumin level dropped from 3.8 to 3.3. But yes, I think that creating the drop in albumin. So propectalin's good. It's kaolin and pectate, so it helps kind of bind the stool up. Again, that's where the GI Adsorb can be super useful. Well, but if the propectalin is working, don't knock it. It just sort of pulls the water out of the stool right up. So check that out. Let's see. And then Kay is asking about her 15-year-old Westie with a history of SIBO, a half Croc-Pet, half Primal Nuggets, but the poop is really hard. Probably this is more that you're starting with food that's not necessarily filled with fluid. With the Primal freeze-dried nuggets, I would soak them. The other thing, because of SIBO, it's difficult to add in fibers. So you might might start with something like chia seeds. And so literally, I think a spoon of chia seeds per quarter cup of water, basically over the chia seeds, turns into a little pudding type thing. And try adding something like an eighth of a teaspoon per meal for a few meals and see if this creates any issues. If he's having a hard time getting in position to poop, then you could also something like a harness that would support both his front end and rear end. That's been super helpful for a lot of clients. But I think really your issue is make sure is a ton of water in the food so that the food's not coming down the pipe, so to speak, hard. If he's going every day, then likely that's a fluid issue. If he's waiting 2 or 3 days to go pass a stool, my rear end hurts and it's embarrassing to fall down at my poop. And that's where a help him up harness is going to be super useful. Or just a towel under the belly too, although that's difficult with dogs. And then her kitty is 15 years old, so you've got geriatrics, and she's offered both kibbled and canned, and depends on the day that she wants to eat. So it could be your teeth. And she had some elevated labs, so she didn't feel like the kidneys were healthy enough for anesthesia. So essentially, then you're stuck with dealing with reducing pain and discomfort in the mouth. And one of the things that actually can be helpful for that, the Assisi loop. So you want to get for a kitty, you can probably get away with a 10-centimeter loop, because the goal of it is, but for GPs, you may want to get a 20-centimeter. So the goal of this, if the photos will load, is to put the loop over the cat face like this, and then use the pulsed electromagnetic frequency to treat the discomfort in the mouth. But this thing is literally about this big, and we every day pretty much for Pepe, for back pain, and also his kidneys are starting to go a little sideways. So that's been super helpful for him. Makes him feel a whole lot better. So try that, check that out. Okay. The other thing was cold therapy. There's handheld lasers you can get, but at this point, I just go with the CC because it seems to work really well. And I think I got that question. And Tara's asking about the pork. Yes, I would trim it back to about an eighth of an inch, just to take the excess fat off. Because again, in commercially produced animals, the fat is where there are lots and lots of fatty acids, which are pro-inflammatory. So I would turn it back to about an eighth of an inch. And then as far as treats go, what I would suggest is as much fresh food as possible. So if she, is eating and drinking well and likes fresh veggies, likes carrots, likes green beans, things of that nature, I think those are great for treats. When you add, dry stuff, that's where you kind of tend to increase decrease the amount of fluid in the body, and so can have some issues there. Again, stage two, that's not terrifically far along, and so you could use small amounts of proteins as well. But I would really work on tasty veggies. And then Sukia, you're asking about mange and allergies and how are they interrelated. That is a really interesting question. So mange in older dogs, so meaning older than, say, six, is considered to be a dysfunction of the skin's immune system. And allergies are considered to be an autoimmune disease against the skin. Now, in my experience, mange, demodectic mange is not supposed to be itchy, but it certainly can be. And so what I would see is a number of cats that would come in that had been treated for allergies with steroids, with this, with that, with the other. And and then the mange would just go crazy, right? So I think that what you want to do is work on getting the immune system to function more normally, and then use things like Goodwinol topically, CBD, say on the lesions, if they're not too few, you know, too many of them. And then use things like omega-3 fatty acids, probiotics, food to make sure that the gut syndrome has also been taken care of, and dermal support from Standard Process that's been super helpful, and or immune support. So I think if you work on supporting the immune system and asking it to work a little bit more effectively, that will take care of both problems. In the meantime, if there truly is demodectic mange there, do not let your vet give hyposteroids, because that will really flame it up. And then the last question I've got on my list is from Linda, and really it's more sharing than anything else. Let me see if I can find this. The really awesome thing is Lily Grace's, and this was sort of as good as it got into December. Really doing great. So we've gone from having, you know, this was right after fluids and things of that nature. So off of fluids, off of a phosphate binder, her BUN bumped up to 89, creatinine bumped up to 6, phosphorus at 7.8. So these numbers look awesome. And the phos is within the range, but it's kind of at the high end. So you may consider bumping up the phos binder just a smidge to bring it back down into the normal range. And I'm so grateful that she's doing great. Rock on, Linda. Glad life is easy. So there is that. And let's see, we've got a couple of questions. So let's see, Susan's pup is on Serenia. She's got an appointment tomorrow. And honestly, if you've got an appointment tomorrow, and she's vomiting, just let it go and offer a small amount of, you know, like chicken or something like that, but literally teaspoons and tablespoons at a time. If she is like, she drinks water and she vomits, she eats something and she vomits, just don't feed her anything, because you're more likely to create more dehydration and more distress if you keep feeding. Yep. And so May, what I said is that, answered some of this on CrockPet and some of it here. So basically, if you didn't get it on CrockPet, try holistic total body support. If you have no issues after three tests, then you should be good to go. And then for the Frontier product, you want to add about 5,000 milligrams of calcium per batch of food. And I'm sorry, I can't remember how many milligrams per teaspoon is in that product, but that's what you'd want to use. And I think that's all the questions. Anything else I can help you all with? We started the New Year, New You group last Tuesday and had about four folks come on. That was a lot of fun. I look forward to sharing a little bit more. Jamie was able to join. Jim and Linda, I think you jumped on for a bit as well. So that was fun. We'll check in with folks and see what else. Hey, Jamie, good to see you. And Kartar, I'm sorry, I did miss your questions. So one was, About the CoQ10, yes, 200 milligrams for a 16 kg dog is plenty. So that's about 35 pounds. For humans, 600 milligrams is a pretty whopping dose. And then you're also noticing some lip smacking in between meals. So that's a little bit worrisome. And I think part of it may be that the phosphorus level, while the numbers are better, the phosphorus is still high. So I would continue to work on kind of cranking that down a smidge. Does that make sense? Does that ring true to you as far as what is going on? Or do you feel like he's just getting hungry? Because sometimes that does happen too. If the bells are a little dicey and they get empty, then they'll start to get pretty hungry. So see if that makes sense. Got it. So anyway, I hope everybody is having a great week. That's all the knowledge I have. He does agree. So try adding a little small meal, literally just maybe a couple of spoonfuls, and see if that stops the lip licking. So if you know that, okay, he ate at 8 o'clock in the morning and he starts lip licking at about 2, then maybe give him a smidge of food right at about 1 o'clock, so to try to preempt that and see if that helps. And hungrier is good because his appetite was really pretty dreadful for a bit. So it sounds like things are getting there. All right, that's what I have for you this week. Until next week, remember, your pet's best health starts in the bowl. And buddy, a big and a hug and a kiss. Keep it going. You guys are doing great with everything. So that's what I got. Hopefully it will not be so stressful next week, and we'll have figured out another one size fits all supplements. And again, I wish I had something better to say, but I can't find anything that's already made that will cover everything. But Becky, I'm going to go check out the Balance It and website and see what happens when I plug in Crock-Pet and what happens with beans for cats, because that's an interesting question. So until next week, everybody take good care, and